Good morning. Today we're going to wrap up chapter 15 of the book of Acts. You know, the series we're going through, Life in the Spirit. I want us to talk about handling conflict within God's family. So if you have your Bibles, you may want to turn there. It's only a few verses, actually it's like six verses, but it has a very powerful message. Have you ever had a disagreement with another Christian and you both knew that you were right? As long as we are in this world, there will be disagreements. Close family members, they can disagree on things and never change their minds, and yet they're still family members and they have to somehow hang out with each other at times. Friends can be friends and they can still disagree on a number of issues. Disagreeing with someone does not mean that you don't love them. Nor does it necessarily mean that you're angry at them. Disagreement is a result of a little something that God has given to all human beings, and that is a will. So I believe it's okay for us to disagree with one another on a variety of issues as long as we learn to do it in love. We must agree on certain non-negotiable things that God has clearly revealed to us in Scripture. But there are countless other issues where unity can be found without having uniformity of thought. Here's where I'm going with all this morning. Those who follow Jesus Christ can hold strong convictions without sacrificing good relationships. Another way to say that actually comes from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, where it says, "Speak the truth in love." So let's look at a few thoughts that we get from our scripture this morning to see how believers can disagree agreeably. The very first thing that I want us to talk about is Christ followers need to foster an encouraging environment. In verse 36, Acts chapter 15, it reads like this. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." You see, both Paul and Barnabas, they were caring men who wanted to help people grow strong in their faith and in their love for Jesus Christ. God had burdened each of them with this desire to see his church grow and to flourish. So it's no wonder that they wanted to go and return back to those churches, to the people that they had led to Jesus Christ, and to see how they're doing and to encourage them. Now, we've already seen them do a little bit of this when they returned to certain churches and helped to strengthen them. In Acts chapter 14, at verses 21 and 22, it says, "Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith." However, there were other times where even Paul himself found himself in need of strength or of encouragement. In Acts chapter 23, we'll get to it later on, quite a bit later on, it says, "The following night, the Lord stood near Paul and said, 'Take courage. As you have testified about me in Jerusalem, you must also testify in Rome.'" You see, Paul has now been arrested in this portion of Scripture, and he is bound in shackles. He is getting ready to be shipped off to Rome, where he is going to be tried by the Roman government. He's in all kinds of problems, and there's this world of turmoil, and he must have been dealing with fear and discouragement. Why else would Jesus himself come and say to Paul, "Take courage"? Now, we may or may not get a personal visit from Jesus, but one thing is certain, Jesus wants each and every one of us to be encouraged. He may send someone to lift your spirits, someone to give you hope. We should all be quick to speak the language of encouragement and love to one another as we go through our daily lives. It may be safe to say that we should always be on one end or the other of encouragement. The front end of encouragement, it starts with the letter E. That reminds each and every one of us to extend encouragement to those around us. Now, at the other end of encouragement, the last letter is the word T. It serves to remind us to take encouragement when it is offered or when it is extended to us. There are many times when we simply need to encourage ourselves in the Lord, just as David did in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6, where it says, "Now David was greatly distressed, but David encouraged," or David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. We all need it. Encouragement is vital for us. It produces health within the body of Christ, in our hearts and even in our own minds. Also, these heavy doses of encouragement, it can strengthen our emotional immune system. So when we face conflict or discouragement with other believers, then we won't get emotion sickness. And you see, that leads us to the second point, which is that Christ followers will sometimes disagree strongly. In verse 37 through the first part of verse 40, it says, "Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them, but Paul did not think it was wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left." Now, you may remember we spoke a little bit about Silas last week. Now, sometimes it's okay to disagree. Both parties, they can be right at the exact same time. Not every argument is an issue of truth versus untruth or right versus wrong. Sometimes we feel so passionately about something because of the way that God has wired us. We are all different and we won't always see things eye to eye. Now, Barnabas, he may have been a little bit more of a compassionate person than Paul, but it didn't hurt that Mark was actually Barnabas' cousin. Paul may have seen things a little bit more black and white, you know, cut and dry. That's not to say that Paul did not care about people, because he absolutely did. However, Paul is so consumed with his passion for preaching the gospel and seeing people one to Jesus Christ or believing in Jesus Christ, especially the Gentiles, that anything that threatened the success of the good news about Jesus, it became a threat to Paul himself. Paul saw Mark as a weak link in their ministry efforts because he had not been faithful the last time he traveled with them. In Acts chapter 13, at verse 13, "From Paphos, Paul and his companions sailed to Perga in Pamphylia, where John," also Mark, "where John left them to return to Jerusalem." But why did John or Mark turn back from the work? Why did he go back to Jerusalem? Some scholars believe that he left them not because of homesickness or anxiety over his mother's safety or duties or wanting to rejoin Peter or even fear from the struggles and the hardships that they might face on their missionary journeys. But they believe that he left because of the issue of salvation to the Gentiles on faith alone. See, there are hints that Mark's family, just like Paul, was the Hebrew of Hebrews. He knew all the law and he knew what it meant to be a Hebrew. And he left because he could not agree that it was salvation alone. No wonder Paul had no interest in taking him with him on this journey as they traveled around. See, God had called Paul to be an apostle to the Gentiles. And if Mark really didn't think that the Gentiles should get into God's family without being circumcised or having to keep all of those laws that even the Jewish people couldn't keep, then he may have been more harm than good as they visited all these Gentile churches that had been led to the Lord. But regardless of all of that, Paul had his mind on his mission. And Barnabas? Barnabas, he had his mind on the minister, Mark himself. They were both right. Do you realize later on, Mark actually became a great minister who was used by God? And through all this, Paul stayed true to the mission that God had called him on. Helped him to turn the world upside down with the gospel. But these two men, they agreed so strongly that they could not continue to work together. Both were passionate about doing what it is that they thought was right, what it is that God had called them to, and so they went their separate ways to do what God had placed on their hearts, what God had called them to. And you see, that leads us to the third point, is that Christ followers should relate to one another in loving humility. In verse 40 of our scripture, it says, "But Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord." Now, the Bible, it gives us guidelines on how we should resolve conflict. We're not going to get into all of that today, but you can find it in Matthew chapter 5 and in Matthew chapter 18. It tells us exactly what God expects for us as believers when we find ourselves offended by someone and how we go about making amends, either to forgive them or to receive forgiveness. Now, as we look at this dispute between Paul and Barnabas, it appears that neither one of them was guilty of an offense or of a sin against the other. And so, in a sense, there is no real need for reconciliation or forgiveness. It doesn't say that they hated each other or that they left and they were bitter and angry with each other. Both of them had a very strong case. Paul was right in the sense that those who are sent to preach the gospel, they must be faithful, loyal, committed, not prejudiced against the Gentiles or against whoever else they're being sent to. If you are called to be a youth pastor, then youth is where you work. The rest of the people think youth are impossible. If you are called to work with children, then that's where your heart is. And many people can't stand being with children. You serve where God has called you to, even if others don't see it and don't agree with that. Now, Barnabas, who was the cousin of Mark, he may have also been right. Mark needed some encouragement. He needed some further training or more discipleship if he's ever going to become the man of God that he was meant to be. If he was going to grow, he needed somebody to come alongside and to help nurture him and to train him. Now, we may be tempted to side with Barnabas. And perhaps if Paul had to do it again, he might do it a little bit differently. We don't really know. But we do know that Paul completely accepted Mark a little bit later on down the line. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, it says, "Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, because he is helpful to me in my ministry." In Philemon, Paul actually calls Mark one of his fellow workers. In 1 Peter chapter 5 at verse 13, Peter writes, "My son Mark sends his greetings." So whether Paul was right or whether Barnabas was right, we know that God was able to bring Mark through to maturity. He became the man of God that he was destined to be. He grew and he matured. But the important thing to remember is that even if we cannot agree with another believer, we can and we must love them and be humble in our relationship with them. When Paul was older, he actually wrote clearly about this in his letter to the church in Philippi. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, he writes this, "Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but to each of you to the interest of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he humbled himself, made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Now, someone might read through this scripture and think, yeah, practice what you preach, Paul. You didn't act like that toward Mark. Well, the best response for that would be this, and that is that each one of us are a work in progress. Paul was a work in progress. Imagine where he was when he was Saul and how far he's already come. God wasn't finished with him yet. There used to be a sticker or a little badge, you know, it was, please be patient, God isn't finished with me yet. But it was just all those little letters and stuff like that, and you never knew what it meant. I am still a work in progress. God is still working on changing me and developing me into the person that he wants me to be. As great as Paul was, he still had a lot of growing and a lot of growth that he needed to go through. I'm sure he made mistakes along the way. Now, we don't find it anywhere in the Bible, but I can just imagine that there was a time and a place where Paul and Mark, they met again. And Paul may have said something like this, I was wrong about you. I thought you were going to hinder the work of God, but you have proven yourself to be faithful and very useful in the ministry. Or maybe the issue wasn't with Paul and the things that he had done. After all, Mark actually had some issues of his own, some things that he had to work through. And maybe, just maybe, Paul's assessment of Mark, along with Barnabas's encouragement, allowed Mark to grow. And somehow it motivated him to change and to develop into a faithful, trustworthy, effective Christ follower, someone who was serving God. See, that's what Jesus wants for each one of us. For each one of us to grow and to develop into the person, the man or the woman that he has created us to be. Maybe we're wishy-washy sometimes. Maybe we sometimes tend to be prejudiced against a certain kind of people. Maybe we, somewhere along the line, have let God down or we have let other people down. And we're not really sure if they're ever going to be able to rely on us or trust us again. I want you to understand this. God has never, ever stopped believing in you. And that his grace can change you into the man or the woman that he wants you to be. As long as you keep pressing forward, God can keep working with you and keep developing you. In Philippians chapter 1 at verse 6, Paul actually writes these words. He says, I am quite confident that the one who began a good work in you will go on continuing it until the day of Jesus Christ comes. God will continue to work on you until Jesus returns or until you are called home. And you see, that leads us to our fourth and our final point this morning, and that is that Christ followers must never allow conflict to stop the flow of God's grace. In verse 41, it says, he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. This is speaking about Paul here. But what if Paul had somehow become bitter about this conflict that he had with his friend Barnabas? What if he had quit doing what it is that God had called him to? He said, that's it. I've just had enough. I'm not doing this anymore. Because he was hurt. Then we probably wouldn't even know the name Paul, would we? This life that we live while we're here, it is filled with disagreements, with arguments, with problems, with fights, with embarrassments, sometimes even stupidity and other unpleasant things. But we must never let any of those negative things derail God's plan for our lives. One big reason is that we simply don't want to miss out on what it is that God is doing, but there is a bigger, even better reason. And that is that if the grace of God stops flowing through your life, how many other people are going to miss out on what God wants to do in them? See, maybe it's in God's plan for you to be one of those who at times in your life have had things happen to you to help strengthen you, to help develop you, so that you can minister, so that you can share, you can be with someone who is going through the same thing, suicide or depression, a loss of a child. See, God may be using the hard times in your life to help develop you and strengthen you so that you can minister, that you can be caring to somebody else. What if because somebody disagreed with you and they offended you and you bail out and you just say, that's it, I give up. I'm taking time away from God and from all of that. You see, when we let personal hurts and problems stop the flow of God's grace in our lives, we may be blocking the only ray of light that some people will ever see in this dark world. So don't let anger, don't let bitterness steal your joy and your confidence in Jesus, because he's counting on you. Who knows how many other friends, family members, maybe even neighbors are counting on you, whether they realize it or not. See, it's important to keep our relationships healthy and free of offenses, of distractions, if you will. Maybe this morning, as you're sitting there listening to all this and you hear about Paul and Barnabas and this disagreement they have, and you can think of something in your past, some hurt that happened to you that you just need to let go of today. Maybe there's some baggage that you've been carrying around with you and it's got you weighted down and you're just struggling under the weight of whatever that is. I would urge you to let go of it today. Reach out to the person and talk to them about it if it's possible. If not, would you at least turn it over to God and let him deal with it? You see, God can help you. Forgiveness and grace. It can preserve our relationships with one another. It helps to keep us healthy and growing. Even when we disagree strongly on certain items, would you be willing to put some of that stuff aside? Would you be willing to take some time as the worship team leads us and think about that? And let that forgiveness flow. You see, when all else is stripped away, there is just God. And your relationship with him and your relationship with other believers.